You know, everybody seems to be looking for a better life. You know, and people are doing various things to improve their life, and people are looking at programs and places, and that's good. You know, we can always use those. But actually, if you want to have a better life, then you need to look into the Word of God. Amen. You know, in having a greater life, it all begins with changing how you think. Now, in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." The NLT says, "Don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. They are always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it." Well, these verses here are using an example to show the impact of a person's thoughts on their life. If you notice here, he says in here, "For as he thinks in his heart, that's who he is." In my dad's book, Right and Wrong Thinking, he says on page 2, "What we believe is a result of our thinking. And if we think wrong, we'll believe wrong. If our believing is wrong, our confession will be wrong." In other words, what we say will be wrong, and it all hinges on our thinking. You know, changing your thought life is just not an automatically thing that you do. You have to concentrate on changing your thought patterns. You know, you listen to a lot of people and they tell you why it can't be done. You know, I mean, you talk about some things and they say you can't do it. You know, in 1954, and there was a lot of us in this room that was alive then. I was a freshman in high school. Roger Bannister was the first person to run an official recorded 4-minute mile. Prior to that event, some schools taught that it was physically impossible for a person to run a 4-minute mile. They ought to be around today. They're running in 3 minutes and something, you know. But in reality, Roger Bannister didn't so much as break a physical barrier or a speed barrier as he broke a thought process, a thought barrier. Now, he ran the 4-minute mile in 1954. 37 people did it in 55. 300 people ran a 4-minute mile in 56. And I don't know, there have been thousands of them that's run over a 4-minute mile now. He changed the whole world's thinking when it come to track and running forever. He changed the thinking that you can do greater things that people think is impossible or say is impossible. People do small things because they think small. Yeah. You know, somebody said, "Great thoughts precede great deeds." My dad used to tell me, he said, "Son, always set your goals high, real high. If you reach half of them, you've done something. If you set them low and reach them all, you hadn't accomplished very much." That's what he always told me to do that. See, God needs us to enlarge our thinking about him. You know, in great times of difficulty, you would hear, as you read the Psalms, David would begin to talk about how great God was. Look in Psalm 77:10. "And I said, this is my anguish, but I'll remember the years of the right hand of my Most High. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works and talk of your deeds. Your ways, O God, is the sanctuary. Who is great as God, as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. Well, you know, we were singing there, Mighty God. They didn't know what I was going to preach. I don't ever tell them. But it seems like so many times they'll come up with a song that goes along with what I'm talking about. You know, when David was in great distress and his thought life would start going the other direction, he would take control of his thought life and begin to talk about how great God was. You know, when he came back to Ziklag, and it had been burned, and they had taken all the women and children and the possessions, and everybody else was complaining and everything. And it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He began to think about how good God is. Instead of thinking and complaining when you get in a situation, begin to think about how good God is and what he's done for you. And if he did it once, he can do it again. Yes. Not he can do it again, he will do it again. Right. You know, a lot of people, they, when you see them, all they can talk about is their bad situation. Oh, I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. Oh, this, that. Hey, the more you magnify that, the worse it is. But the more you magnify who God is and think about how great God is, things change. David always, when he got into a troublesome situation, he always talked about God, how great God was. You know, we have a book in the Bible named Job. Okay, see, I got your attention. That's what I wanted to do, make sure I got your attention. He had a lot of troubles and a lot of afflictions. I mean, I think it's pretty bad when the enemy stole all your livestock and killed all your children and you're afflicted with boils. And then he had three people that were supposed to be his friends, but they were three tormentors, I call them, as you read about it in there. But I want you to notice one thing that he said in the midst of his trouble. He said, but as far as for me, I will seek God, and to God I will commit my cause, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. In the middle of his greatest situation, you might say, he immediately said, hey, I'm committed all to God. He's the one that does great things. You see, what Job did in the time of trouble is what everybody should do in the time of trouble. Commit it to God. In fact, you shouldn't even be carrying any burdens. In Peter, it says, cast all your care, your burdens on the Lord, for he cares for you. Yes. And Job was convinced, even in the condition that he was in, that God would take care of him. Amen. Now, people talk about, you know, poor old Job. I guess I'm just a Job. Well, if you're just a Job, then his situation only lasted about 9 months. And if you read at the end of the book of Job, you'll find out that he got twice as much as he had when he ran into the troubled situation. If you begin to think how God is the master restorer, then he'll restore all that you've lost and give you more. Amen. In fact, I did a series over at the Tulsa campus and called God the Master Restorer, and they put it into a book. I don't know whether they've got it over here or not yet, but it's called God the Master Restorer. And some of y'all heard me do it. Y'all were there. You know, I said he will turn any situation around, but you got to think in line with the Word of God, which says, you see, you think in line with the Word of God, you begin to speak, you begin to believe in line with the Word of God, and then you begin to speak in line with the Word of God. Amen. Instead of talking about your trouble, you're talking about your victory. Well, I don't see no victory yet. Hey, it doesn't matter whether you see it or not. Faith sees it before it ever becomes a reality. And you got to think about God, how great he is. You know, he became the king of Israel. But you know what? David, before he was the king, he went through a lot of stuff. But you know, here he is. He's the king of Israel. Israel is at its height. And the prophet Nathan came to him and said, told David that God wanted David and his offspring to build the temple for him to dwell in Jerusalem. And David began to respond and talk about, you've done all these great things. You make your servant. You are great, O Lord God. He began to talk about the greatness of God. At the pinnacle of his success, he still was talking about the great God. Now, hey, he was a long way from that shepherd boy that killed the lion and the bear, and that 17-year-old that killed the Goliath. He was a long way from when he was a fugitive running from Saul to keep from being killed. Now he was the king of Israel. See, David was given the honor of gathering materials so that Solomon could build this temple. And as David thinks about all this and all that God had done for him and all that he had come through and where he was, he says here in verse 21 Second Samuel 7, he says, "You have done all these great things to make your servant known them. Make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God." David's is an amazing story. You know, he evidently, when he was spending time out there by himself taking care of those sheep, he evidently began to think about God. And he enlarged his thoughts about God. See, God is a great God who desires to do great things for you. But you got to believe that. Amen. You know, sometimes our thoughts are not on the greatness of God. Our thoughts are on our big problem that we've got. And you know what? Ever, it may not really be a big problem, but to you it is. So don't ever minimize somebody's situation. You know, that's nothing compared to some. Yeah, that may be nothing, but it's something to them. But encourage them to begin to think about how great God is and how that God can deliver them. Think larger thoughts. Dare to think thoughts that seem to be unreasonable, because God is big enough to make your dreams come true. Yes, amen. He is big enough to take you from the place where you are and put you where he wants you to be. Amen. Now think about this. You know, some people, how big is God? Well, think about it. God created this planet we're on. He created all of the natural scenery. I don't know if you've ever driven out west and driving through Montana and Wyoming and all of those great buttes out there, and then looking at those Rocky Mountains, driving from Vancouver, Canada, through the Canadian Rockies. It's a very beautiful sight. And then I've had the privilege of driving from Wales, Austria to Verona, Italy, and we drove through the Alps, and then I've had the privilege of flying over them several times. In fact, we just was there in Croatia and in Albania, and we had to fly over them to get there. But you begin to think about how big is God? I mean, our level of thinking, sometimes we need to change. Yes, yes. Because our level of expectancy creates what we will receive. You know, if you don't expect much, you're not going to get much. In fact, I got a whole series I did on expect. There's a book out there. I don't know whether it's out here or not, but I don't know what of my books they got out there and which ones they don't. But anyway, go on if you want to expect. You know, sometimes people think small thoughts. I've always been told you got to think you can and believe you can before you will. Amen. I mean, coaches used to come by the locker room. They come by and say, "Hey, Hagin, see yourself catching that touchdown pass. See yourself doing it." You know, well, when you began to think that way, then you expect to be able to do it. When I was running track, 1957 in high school, I ran a 10-flat, 100-yard dash, not 100 meters that they run now. And I ran a 23-flat, 22.9, 220, and that was fast back in those days because you're running on those cinder tracks. Anybody here ever run on a cinder track with them long spikes? And if you get stepped on, it's going to go right all the way through your foot. Now they got them little nubs and they got that rubber track. I saw, when Craig was running, I went out running track. He was in high school. I said, "Man, kind of, if I'd had this to run on, no damn what I could have run." But I never stepped on that track and got in my lanes and got down in my starting position that I didn't think that I was going to win. I don't care that John over here had a faster time in the last track meet. I don't care that so-and-so had a faster time. I don't care what time they had. That was then. This is now. And they running against me. They was running against somebody else then. I can run. See, you got to think it before you can do it. And you got to start thinking in line with God's word. And when you think in line with God's word, you'll start believing in line with God's word. You know, our level of thinking either lowers our expectation or raises it. Thinking larger thoughts will raise your level of expectation. You know, we need to discover the significance of the word greater. When God talks about something great, just from the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the word great is defined as notable, large in size, large in number or measure, remarkable in magnitude and degree or effectiveness, superior in character and quality. Throughout the Bible, we see the word great God. God has done great things. Then that's what it's talking about right there. Just what I read. Superior in character and quality. Remarkable in magnitude and degree. Larger in number and measure. That's what great is. You know, this describes God. We said a while ago, we were singing, head on the screen, God, a great God. All right, what are we talking about? We are talking about remarkable in magnitude and degree. We are talking about superior in character and quality. Great God. Now, he talks about that he wants us to be greater than he was. Jesus, that is. And he said, "You will do greater works because I go to my Father." See, no weak works, no mediocre works, greater works. You see, the Bible says that the greater one's on the inside of us. So none of us should be down and out, but we should be up and about. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is lesser than he than who is in the world. What is that?
Greater.
What did I tell you greater was? Superior. Larger. Superior in character and quality. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Glory.
Today, I'm trying to get you to think greater thoughts. Believe greater things. So you can have a greater life. He said in John 10:10, he said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. Or greater, we could put there, a greater life. Abundantly would also fit there. Because abundant is superior in character and quality, more than enough, abundant. And so greater wouldn't hurt to put the word greater there.
That's right.
You know, it's possible to have a greater life. But first of all, we got to realize that God has thoughts for us. And now we've got to think like him. Jeremiah 29:11, all of you probably know it. You quote it probably all the time. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's King James, New King James. The Message says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future. Future plans to give you the future you hope for. Now here, these words were given to the Israelites when they were in captivity in a foreign land, never hoping to even get back to their homeland, not knowing whether they would get back or not. And he says to them in their captivity through the prophet Jeremiah, he says, hey, take heart, people. I know what I'm doing. I got it planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you, to give you the future you hope for. He's saying that to us today. In the darkest and Israel's darkest hour, he's telling them that he has plans for them. No situation is too difficult for God. Somebody said to me one time, man, you don't know what the mess that I'm in. I said, I may not know the mess that you're in, but I know the one that can turn your mess into victory. Yeah. You know, I got a little stone deal on my desk. My wife's sister gave it to me. It says, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. You see, sometimes it's the way we think about something when something comes. If you think right and think with God, you can turn a situation around.
Yes,
you know, you can have a greater life. But you know what? It's not up to God.
No.
It's up to you.
Yes.
It's up to you to know what the Word of God says. And to live in line with the Word of God. And to overcome by the Word. How do you overcome by the Word? By believing the Word of God and speaking it out of your mouth.
Amen.
You speak it. You say it. Every time I pray over my food, I thank God for our food. And then I thank God. For health and healing, and that no weapon formed against me will prosper.
Glory.
That's what the Bible says.
Right.
See, you got to learn to say what the Bible says.
Right.
I've said it to you many times. I say it again. I say it all the time. You go up and ask my dad, well, Brother Hagin, what about this? And his first response out of his mouth, I've heard him say it for years and years and years and years. Remember, I grew up in his house.
Right.
So I was there. He'd say, what does the Word say?
That's right.
And then I worked for him behind the scenes for 31 years before he went to glory. and I'd be standing with him. We'd be in meetings, and somebody come up, even preachers come up and say, "Brother Hagin, what do you think about this?" He said, "It's not what I think. What's the Word say? What's the Word say? In other words, what's the Bible say? It's not important what this preacher says or that preacher says. What does the Bible say? If they're saying what the Bible says, that's all. That's good. But depend on what the Bible says, not on what somebody else says.
Yes.
You know, hey, enlarge our thinking to think in line with the Word of God. If you won't find out how big God is, then you got to get in the Bible and begin to read. You can discover all the great things that God did. You'll learn how mighty and powerful and strong God is. You know, enlarge our thinking by seeing what the Word of God says. God has greater plans for you than you think. December 1965, Lynette and I got married. And we thought, man, if we could just pastor back in that day, I mean, if you had a Pentecostal church of 300 people, that was a mega church back in that day. And if we could just pastor maybe 300 people, drive a Cadillac car and go to Hawaii once, man, that would have been a great life. That was our plan. But as we began to look at God, He began to give us a greater and a bigger plan.
Amen.
A lot bigger than we ever thought of. I can tell you that for sure. When I started Raymond, I was 35 years old when I started Raymond in 1974, September 74. We thought, well, if we could train 50 students a year, it'd really be great. Well, we did more than that now. There's 84,000 graduates of Raymond worldwide from all the schools. See, God has a greater plan for you. You've got to be able to follow, think with God and go with Him as He leads you. Many people, they start backing off because God is leading them and they've never been that way before. Well, Joshua told the people, children of Israel, they said, "You've never been this way before. Follow the Ark of the Covenant." Why did the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant? Why did he tell them, follow the Ark of the Covenant? Because that's where the Spirit of God dwells. And so the Spirit of God would take them where they need to go. See, you have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you. So you listen to let Him guide you. Let Him direct you. Let Him put you where you need to be. I remember 1980, I was preaching in St. Louis, Missouri. And they took the sermon and put it in a little booklet, How to Make the Dream God Give You Come True. In that, I said we were going to have Ramas all over the world. You know, and didn't look like it's going to happen. Somebody said, "Well, it's not going to happen." I said, "Yeah, God." I said, "I didn't think that up." I said, "I was preaching. That wasn't even in my sermon notes." I said, "I was preaching, and it came out." That's how Rhema got started. Daddy was preaching at Sheridan Assembly in a camp meeting, and he said, "We're going to start a Bible school." We played the tape. That's when it was back then. And he said, "Okay, I didn't go to Bible school. You did. You do it."
Amen.
So all he ever did about starting Rhema Bible College was to say, "We're going to do it." I did it.
Amen.
Used to, when I was traveling with him for those 31 years, be out on the road. Somebody goes ask him about something. He said, "Oh yeah, we'll do. We can do that." I knew who we was.
Amen.
See, I said that in 1980. We didn't have but three Bible schools, and up till 2000, and now we've got 200 and, I don't know, 40 or some odd. I don't know what. It changes all the time. In 51 nations. See, God, we thought we were going to have a little small Bible school. See what I'm telling you? God is greater. He has greater thoughts. And He has greater thoughts for you. God wants you to have the good life, the great life. But if you're going to have the great life, you got to let go of the past. No matter whether it's good, bad, or ugly, you got to let go of it. Remember, the Apostle Paul, after all that he had accomplished in Philippians, he had accomplished a whole lot when he wrote that in Philippians. He said, I don't consider myself to, I'm going to paraphrase it, 2019. I don't consider myself to accomplish anything. But this one thing I do, I press on. Yes. See, we can't afford to stop. God has more for us every day.
Yes.
Go with him every day. He has more. He has greater life for you than you're living. Somebody said, well, I'm already in the twilight years. Who cares? He still has a greater life for you.
Amen.
I don't believe in the getting old. I believe in going on.
Amen.
We've had several ministers that had retired. They came to Rhema. Some of them had been in another denomination, got filled with the Holy Spirit. They came to Rhema and refired and went and pastored and preached for another 20 years.
Right.
Hello. See, hey, keep on going. Somebody said, you're going to retire? I said, no, I might slow down. But that slowing down hasn't started yet, so I don't know when that's going to happen. Well, yeah, speed it up. My dad didn't retire. Man, I don't even think about retiring. I'm thinking about going on. I'm thinking about what else can I accomplish for God?
Amen.
We need to all think of that way. Hello. See, let go of our plans.
Yes. Yeah.
And follow God. He has greater plans. He's the great God. You know, I got to tell people all the time, wave bye-bye to the past and go on.
Amen.
Well, you know, Paul had to forget that he was the one that was holding the coats when they stoned Stephen.
Yeah.
And tell him, throw a little harder. He had to forget he was the one that had killed Christians. In fact, when God appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he was carrying papers to kill the Christians. But then he also had to forget that he had the first mega church in Ephesus. Come on now. And he said in Philippians, he said, I'm forgetting all of that. I hadn't accomplished anything. See, don't ever get to the point you think you've accomplished or that you've got it made. No, there's still more. There's more. So press on. To have all that God says you can have and live the great life with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. I want you to realize that, hey, God has more for you than you've got right now. He's got some more. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. I have just tried to remind these people how great you are. And how great a life you have for them if they would just follow you. I thank you, Father, that our words will find lodgment in hearts. And I pray that I realize that not I said wasn't meant for everybody, but everybody needed something that I was said. And Father, may they take it and use it in their life to live that great life that you want them to have. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I never like to preach a message. I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or to rededicate their life. I always, even though I know just about everybody here, I know they're Christian, but is there anybody in this place that needs to rededicate your life or needs to receive Christ? Praise the Lord. All right, everybody stand, please. We have a cloth here to... for an individual, breast cancer, diabetes, pain. So reach your hands out and let's pray. The Bible says in Acts 19:11-12, they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they were laid on the sick. They recovered. If evil spirits, they left. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on this cloth. I thank you now that the healing power of God's going into this cloth. That same healing power that went out of your body, went out of your clothes into a woman with the issue of blood, and she was healed. That healing power will go out. And cancer, you have to die and go. Leave that body in the name of Jesus. Pain, you have to go in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, you've got to go in Jesus' name. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Is anybody here want prayer for healing tonight? If so, come to the front. We'll lay hands on you and pray for you right now. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God.